The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone today to our service of morning prayer. We welcome also those who are joining us on the live stream. And we're delighted as well to welcome some visitors who are with us this morning. I know some people are with us from quite a far way away, so you're very welcome. Nice to have you with us today. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about how all our achievements in life are as nothing compared to what Christ has done for us. That's the theme of our service today. You'll have seen the notices on the way in on the screen. Just want to make reference to a few things that are happening this week and a few things that are coming up that are not mentioned there. Tomorrow afternoon, at about 25 past two, we've spoken a little bit about how the bishop is doing his bike ride right throughout the diocese, visiting every church over 5 days. Tomorrow is the last leg of the cycle ride, and he will be passing by here at St. Finian's about 25 past two, if the estimations are correct. And if you're around and you'd like to come and give him a welcome, he'd only be stopping for about 10 minutes. But if you are free and you'd like to come along, you'd be very welcome to do so. On Tuesday evening at 7:30, we have the annual business meeting of the church, the Easter Vestry. It's taking place here in the church building at 7:30 on Tuesday evening. And on Wednesday afternoon, our parish bowling organization are meeting at 2:00. And as always, new members are always welcome. Thursday is our midweek Lenten service. We're on the last of our midweek Lenten services this week about the theme of discipleship. And then next week, which is Holy Week, we look forward to welcoming our visiting speaker, Dr. Stephen Rogers, who will be speaking from Monday to Thursday of Holy Week about the healing power of the cross. When I'm speaking about Holy Week, I also wanted to mention that we're delighted this year to be able to resume our Good Friday prayer vigils. And on Good Friday, the church will be open from 7 in the morning until 7:30 at night when we have a service of Tenebrae. But we're encouraging people to sign up. There is a list at the back of the church to take responsibility to pray for half an hour at some point on Good Friday. There will be some pointers for prayer in the church, and we will be focusing on different things within the parish and internationally. And if you can sign up to come and pray for half an hour on Good Friday, we would really be appreciative of your help with that. Many people I know have been expressing an interest in our plans and hopes to support a family from Ukraine who will resettle in the area. There may be, we are aware, a number of households in the parish who are also keen to welcome individuals or families through the government scheme. And there's new information emerging about how best to do that. And there's a requirement to register on a website, which the government have recommended, called Reset, to place with individuals and families from Ukraine. Andy has more information about that. And if you are interested in letting a room or part of your house, please speak with Andy at the end of the service, because it's important that everybody gets the proper training before embarking on that process. Also wanted to mention that from next week on, the government have advised churches that the existing restrictions in church can be dropped, but also recognizing that in local situations, people might choose to maintain the restrictions. So personally speaking, I'm going to continue to be wearing a mask in church, but those restrictions will be dropping from next Sunday onwards, and we've had communication about that. As we come together to worship God this morning, we're going to stand to sing our opening hymn, the hymn, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.
Tell out my soul.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is a psalm that reminds us of the Lord's faithfulness, and we're going to stand together to say Psalm 126. When the Lord restored.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with songs of joy. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has indeed done great things for us, and therefore we rejoiced. Restore again our fortunes, O Lord, as the riverbeds of the deserts. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, will come back with shouts of joy, bearing their sheaves with them.
And if you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, starting at verse 16. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out today. We're going to stand together to sing the hymn, Lord for the Years.
Thank you.
if you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, starting at verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has a reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attend to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to take a moment now just to look at a video, which is a prayer for the situation in Ukraine.
Lord God, we pray today for the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Our hearts cry out for mercy for those in danger and in fear. We pray for the bombs to stop, for the bullets to cease. We pray for peace to reign. We pray for the politicians, and especially Putin, to stop, just stop, to seek the way of peace rather than the path of violence. We pray for peace to reign. We pray for world leaders to know wisdom, to love justice, to open their hearts and their borders to all those fleeing from bloodshed. We pray for peace to reign. And above all, we pray for the people of Ukraine. Protect them, keep them safe, make them strong, give them courage and give them hope. We pray, Almighty God, for your peace to reign. Amen.
We're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this morning's service. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand to sing again our next hymn, There Is a Redeemer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for everything your Son has done for us, things we can't express. Help us now to look to him first and foremost. Amen. Please take your seats. I'd like us to think a wee bit today about how we judge success. I had a look online and I looked at movies. I wanted to see, what do people think is the greatest movie of all time? And it seems to depend, what you come up with depends on your criteria for success. So there was a movie called Avatar about lots of blue people. And that was the highest grossing movie still. And so people say that's the most successful movie. There's another movie called Shawshank Redemption. People say is the greatest movie of all time because of its meaning and its characters. And you could choose any movie, I suppose, and say, oh, it's the greatest movie. It depends on your criteria. The way we measure success very much is a subjective thing. I wonder if you've ever been for a night out and you've come back and you've turned and said to your spouse, "That was awful. That's literally the worst night I've ever been on. Let's never go back there again." And maybe they turn to you and say, "Really? I had a great time." Or maybe you're out shopping and you meet someone and you come home and you say, "Wasn't it great to bump into Henry? Doesn't he have the best stories?" And your spouse turns to you and says, "What a bore. No, no. Next time we see him, let's just turn and go the other way." Our idea of what is good, our idea of success and importance, it's something we don't always agree on. According to Real Men, Real Style, an online style guide, the successful man knows what he wants and how to get it. He will seek to outperform his peers in any arena. Office or gym, however, seems to be the main arena that successful men operate in. He will dress in a way which exudes success, and he will have the right people around him. He will be surrounded by other successful people. However, he will always outperform those successful people in the office and in the gym. He will have the right partner. He will ditch the partner that holds him back, and he will be humble. Sorry, it made me laugh. It's true. He will be humble. That's what they said. Women, according to the Daily Mail Online, the successful woman will earn £49,000 per annum or above. She will be in great shape and wear clothes that highlight the fact that she is in great shape. She will exercise and be happy most of the time. She will be well-read and have a partner who is devoted to her, or possibly devoted to her £49,000 and above. She will be in a senior position at work. She will be well-read and will make people laugh. Genuinely, this was true. I was exhausted just reading it. I don't think I'm a successful man or woman. Paul, the writer to the Philippians, he himself got a lot of criticism by people who questioned his success. His critics were questioning his credentials, whether or not he was successful in what he was doing or successful in the eyes of God. And Paul, I think, had fun with that in the chapter we read today. He says, "Success? Of course I'm a success. Of course I was a success." And he lists his credentials. He says, "Circumcised, yes, on the eighth day." Now, I think that's a strange opener. "Hi, I'm Paul, I'm circumcised, I'm successful." But if you were circumcised in a Jewish family on the eighth day, it meant you belonged to a family that was very devoted, and you came from a strong, devoted lineage. So he said, "I'm circumcised on the eighth day. My race, I'm an Israelite. My tribe is the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe that the Messiah is to come from, the tribe of King David. My descent, I'm Hebrew through and through. I'm a pure blood. My Torah observance, my observance of the law, better than you," Paul says. I'm willing to bet. Although he didn't bet because he was a Pharisee. He basically was saying, "I can recite the law in my sleep." "Zealous? Well," said Paul, "I used to persecute people who I thought were in opposition to God. I used to put them, their children as well, into prison." "My official status under the law," he said, "I was blameless." "Among Jewish people," said Paul, "I am a success. Don't take me on. I will outperform you." And Paul said all of these things, all of his background, his birthright, his lineage, used to be credited to him. But like someone who turns a bank statement back to front, he now understands these things as a loss. In fact, he says it's all skubala. Now, skubala is a word in Greek. What does it mean? If you want to find out what a word in Greek means, don't come to me, because I'll have to go and Google it. I do, and you look online, there's a lot of information. The word skubala, the best thing to do is look at how it's used in the Bible and also look at how it is used elsewhere by people who were writing at a similar time. So I want you to brace yourself. I don't apologize, but I want you to brace yourself at this word skubala. Strabo, who was a geographer who wrote around the same time as Paul, said, "Smyrna's streets lacked proper drainage, so that when it rains, the skubala lies on the surface of the streets. Skubala. Plutarch, a philosopher, again writing in the first century around the time of Paul, said, priests avoid touching skubala and things left over from food because such things are neither pure nor clean. This is a bad one. Aretaeus, a first century doctor, says that jaundice is often accompanied by skubala that is white and clay-like. I think you're getting the idea. Skubala was a word which can be translated as feces or detritus, and possibly one or two other words that you wouldn't thank me, or maybe you would thank me for saying from the pulpit. I was helping somebody with their drains yesterday, and I was standing up to here in skubala. There's some clothes I'm going to burn. But the idea that Paul would say, my reputation as a Hebrew of Hebrews, my flawless reputation as a Pharisee, I'm going to count that all as skubala. I'm done with it. Because what I want to be defined by, says Paul, is the person and the work of Christ, and not my own achievements. Those sentences we looked at there involving skubala were disgusting, and I bet they made a couple of noses wrinkle. But that's what he now thinks of his past status. And also it should be noted that these words that he wrote to the Philippians were written from a prison cell. On reflection, in his prison cell, he is secure in the way things have turned out for him. Compared to this prison cell, for his relationship with Jesus, everything else is skubala. What he does have is his faith in Jesus Christ. Not his achievements, not his birthright, he has his faith. And the NIV that we read from here speaks about Paul writing about his faith in Christ. However, it's worth looking at a footnote that there is in the NIV and some other Bibles here in Philippians. My family lived in Japan, and I learned to swim in Japan. And thinking back, I must have been about 5 years old. I have strong memories of the noise in the pool. I have strong memories of the water that was so deep that the instructor herself, she had to tread water while she was teaching the kids who were all clinging onto the side. And I remember the fear and the tears. It would have been, I was a very undignified looking boy on that day. And the woman, she must have had a bit of a heart because she told me, look, hang on to me. And I clung on to the back of her neck as she taught the class. So she's teaching the class, treading water, and I'm clinging on with tears running down my face. And I know for a fact that if I let go, I'm gone. If I let go, I'm sunk. And she's just laughing, teaching away, and I think, I'm going to die. But really, what would have happened if I'd let go? Would she have let me sink? Of course not. She had me. I was clinging on, but she had me. Had I slipped, I would have been fine. Hysterical, but fine. She had me. We read today that all Paul had was his faith in Christ. He's holding on to Christ, and I think, I know this is true. We need to hold on. We need to cling to him. He's all we need. However, the verse that we're basing this on can be, and often is, translated slightly differently. Instead of reading it, we have faith in Christ, which is a good thing, it can be translated as, we have the faithfulness of Christ. That means, whether it's a good day, a bad day, a strong day, a weak day, it doesn't matter. It's not relying upon our own strength in faith. It is relying upon the fact that Jesus is who Jesus is, and Jesus is faithful. Paul was rooted in the faithfulness of Jesus to Jesus' saving task. If we said, Paul, list your achievements, he would have said, my achievements are whatever Jesus' achievements are. It doesn't matter what I do. And that doesn't mean that we beat ourselves and we say, oh, you know, hit our backs, woe is me. We say, no, it's fine. We have a freedom that comes from whatever Jesus has done, that's what gets credited to us. That's who we are. In preparing for today, I had a lovely time. And I think it was even actually it was well-timed me standing in drains yesterday. Because I had a lovely time reflecting on what it means to be in Christ. And what do I think is important compared to that? And it's a personal bit of contemplation that we all need to do, I think. I'm not Paul, so I need to think it through for myself. You're not Paul, you're not me. You need to think it through for yourself. And it would be lovely if you were able to take time to do that today or over the next coming few days. What does it mean to look at our achievements and say, do you know what? Maybe they are skubala. And what do we have? We've got the love of our faithful Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we all have treasures. We all have things and ideas and ambitions we live for and live by. We all have people we want to put before us, and these are good things. But when you look into our heart of hearts, may you find our greatest treasure to be your Son, our Savior. May we place all our hope and reliance in his faithfulness to us and his faithfulness to his own saving task. Guide us down the paths of your Son and guide us towards your Son for his name's sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, more people than ever have COVID-19. Grant that their symptoms will be mild and keep the most vulnerable protected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, war in Ukraine rages on with cities now unrecognizable. So many have died and lost everything. Intervene in the mind of Putin. Change his mind on this. We don't even need to agree with his rhetoric, but give him a reason that makes sense in his own mind to stop. Give safe homes to refugees and help us to share with those in greatest need, treating them as if they were you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, here at home, the cost of living is rising. It does keep some of us close to the wire. Keep our eyes on the needs of others, our neighbors, while you continue to be our provider. We pray for agencies like CAP, Christians Against Poverty, as they will be feeling the pressure too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those among our number who are sick, worried, lonely, and anxious. We pray for those who mourn. We pray for those who in recent days have handed loved ones over into your care. And this weekend, we pray especially for the family of Edith Graham. Hear us, Lord, as we continue to pray with the words your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we're going to respond to what we've just heard about who we are in Christ as we bring him our praise and our thanksgiving. In the words of our next hymn, for those who are using a church hymnal, we're singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 7 of All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and those who are watching online, we're glad that you get a chance to praise with us. Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is And Can It Be?